Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I'm here once again with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And we are going to read a document that was sent to me. I don't know if this person wanted me to say their name. If you're out there, Gregory B., that's fine. That'll do for now.
From what sent city? Me,
No, and that might identify the person anyway.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he wanted to be identified. I don't remember. I got the email so long ago. I don't know.
There's a lot of Gregories out there.
Yeah, exactly. Could be anybody. But at least if the person's listening, they'll know that it was because they sent me this email.
Okay.
And, you know, Next Generation Carriers has been doing stuff on route protection, route inspections, and Corey, of course, on aid arbitration, had a bunch on route protection. And so I'm going to get in on this, too, with a more streamlined document that I think is going to be easier to read. So,
So why are we doing that?
Oh, because route inspections are happening. They are coming.
Why is it happening?
Because management wants to add to our routes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
and they want to eliminate routes.
Yes. And I think the mandate's coming down to eliminate some employees. They don't want to eliminate themselves, so they're going to eliminate the other employees.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to cut down costs. You don't have to hire people if we can just eliminate routes.
Right. So that's why there's so many more managers too.
Yeah. Okay?
They keep adding more managers, but they are looking to cut down on carriers.
It is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet so, they don't deliver the mail to make any money for the post office. So I don't know.
Right.
Well, you know, that's just a dumb way of thinking.
It is, of course. Yeah. It is. And, you know, with more and more computerization, the stuff that these supervisors are doing is being done by computers. Like, there's no reason to have additional supervisors to crunch data that's already crunched by computers.
And if the upper management says, hey, we need to find a way to eliminate a certain amount of people, they're going to always look at carriers or clerks.
Right, of course.
Well, they got rid of so many clerks that there is really, they can't fire any more, let go of any more clerks.
Right. Yeah.
So now it's left to the carriers. So this is a way for them to try to do it.
Right. Okay, so what I like about this is that it takes the form of a checklist, which is things that are easier to deal with, and it's fairly streamlined. So we'll see how much of this we get through today. We may have to split this into two episodes, but if I don't get started, we'll never get to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and another thing too.
Yep.
The reason that we're doing it is so that you have knowledge on what to do during a route eval.
Right. Okay? And how to protect your route generally, not just during the day of inspection, but day in and day out. Yeah.
Well, I see one of the biggest problem is that management would be violating these rules on every route.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the reason for it, let's say there's 80 routes, let's say. Okay. And let's say 70 of the routes, people knew what they were doing. And those 10 routes, people then don't know what they're doing. And then, and then they can get rid of those 10 routes.
Right.
It's a win for management.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the ones they're going to add to. So with route protection, it's not, again, it's not just during the time of the inspection. This is what you're going to do generally to make sure your route doesn't get added.
And that's why Corey Wong says, does it over and over and over and over again.
Do your route
every
day.
Try to ingrain into everybody's head what to do.
Right.
I've done that too. In fact, I've written a generalized summary of what to do after.
After
the route eval.
Nice.
So I'm going to have to bring that out one day.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to it.
Okay.
Here we go. So I'm going to read it. Michael will react to it.
Yep.
And I'll probably react some too.
Yep.
Route protection checklist. This checklist is intended for carriers to ensure that their overburdened routes get properly accounted for. You have the right to do the following unless specifically instructed not to. If you are instructed not to, you should contact a steward immediately to see if a grievance is necessary. Our routes are overburdened, and if we do our part to comply with everything the handbooks and manuals require, we will have proper adjustments and more routes. This process may be challenging for individuals who want to rush and get off the clock as soon as possible, but remember that there is a price to pay for that. Your route will get added to because management will never truly understand the burden of your route. You may be on the OTDL list, but don't mind the overage on your route. So, that was me for a while. Like, my route was overburdened, but I didn't care. I was happy to get the overtime every day.
See, the route eval, that is something that management is, it is their responsibility to maintain that all routes are 8 hours each.
Right.
So, technically, nobody should be getting any overtime.
Yeah.
If they were doing their job right.
Yeah, sure. And if they were staffing properly, too. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So, going on. Suppose you got your route to an actual 8-hour route, like Michael's talking about. Mm-hmm. In that case, you would often still get overtime without the daily arguments and feeling of needing to rush to handle your daily tasks. And we could get more routes in our station and limit management's attempts to work non-OTDL carriers.
Didn't I just say that?
You did. Hey, look at that. Michael knows what he's talking about. It benefits everyone in the office by making all routes true 8-hour routes and will cause fewer carriers to come and go and instead stay. Dude, that's another thing. People get on those long routes and instead of fixing them, they just bit off.
Yeah. So when I first started as a CCA at the station that I was at,
mm-hmm.
And we took all the overtime away. All the CCs took all the overtime
away. Oh, yeah, sure, okay?
So no regulars were getting any overtime.
Right.
Okay. They were all working 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day, eight
sure,
hours.
Because there was so much auxiliary help.
I mean, that actually did help. Didn't mind by a lot of the carriers because they didn't want to work more than 8 hours.
Right.
But then there were the ones that wanted the overtime. They were getting angry because they're not getting any more overtime. Okay.
It's funny how that's changed. It used to be like, oh, you're coming in, you're stealing my overtime. But now it's like, oh, thank God we got more help.
Well, that's because of Amazon.
Yeah, well, that's certainly
once
part
the Amazon
of it.
Started, then everybody was getting.
But it's
all
also
the overtime.
Now a lack of hiring, a lack of retention. There's a lot going on. Yeah. All right, so this is almost certainly going to be two episodes. So anyway, there is no reason that every station can't be a retirement station, and every route can't be a retirement route. Additionally, we owe it to our residents to do our job correctly and as proficiently as possible. Please, let's return this craft to one of service. It's the postal service, not the postal business. This is not all-encompassing, and please, no matter what, follow management instructions and grieve later if necessary.
But okay,
yeah,
on
go
that,
ahead. Yep.
Yeah, we're postal service, not a postal business. What does that mean?
That means that we have to have a mind toward customer service, where we're actually serving our customers, not just trying to maximize profits.
Right.
Yep.
Because we're a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, okay. We are a government service.
Exactly.
Yep.
And what's been going on now? It seems like they've been wanting more money from the Postal Service
mm-hmm.
because they did that pre-funding.
Right.
Because that money, that whatever the post office gave, that money disappeared. We don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, that was just talked about on the President's Roundtable on Next Generation today.
Yeah. So what did that money?
Okay. Today as we record this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's something that I believe that our government is using the post office to get more money.
Yeah, it's a piggy bank.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be doing that. We're supposed to be a nonprofit organization, okay?
Sure.
So when post office decides to give us a raise.
Yeah.
Okay. How do they make that work?
Well, I've often wondered, like, how do we pay our bills at all? If we go every single year.
To give us the raise, they can raise the price of staff.
Yes, of course.
And postage.
Right, that's the way it's supposed to work.
And that's actually what Corey Walton said, too.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and they said that on Next Generation.
They can make that work. Or maybe they need to stop hiring more managers, because right now we have one manager for 7 employees in the postal service.
It's out of control.
That is out of control. We don't need that many.
Especially with how much automation we have on their end.
And I know everybody that's listening in, they can see what some of these EA managers are doing and go, why are they doing that? That seems like useless.
Yeah.
How many of those managers have you seen? I know I saw a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's the waste of money that the Postal Service is having. And they all make close to $90,000 or $100,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah. What a gig.
Wow. You know?
All right. Going on. Also remember that all of those time standards that management likes to talk about and quote at us, whether the 1 hour office time, 22 minute load time, and 5 minute office time, etc., are not real standards and are often rather just minimums for us. It takes what it takes. If you can justify going over that time, then you go over that time and fill out a 3996.
Yes. Take whatever time it takes. So this is where I get a lot of people complaining. Okay. Well, during the route eval time, I get no mail.
Okay. That just happened to Trevor today or yesterday. Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're doing a route eval and we get like half the mail than normal.
Right.
How is that?
It's
every
quite a coincidence.
Single time we get less mail.
It's not like I never have light days. Like I had a light day today and it was not an inspection.
Right.
But it is amazing how that always seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. This is where people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually...
it can work in your favor.
In your favor.
Right.
Let me tell you why. Yep. Because if you take your time and do all the things correctly and they find it, they say, oh, by the way, this is 8 hours.
Right.
You get the paperwork, make sure you get the copy of the 1840.
Right.
That shows how much time it takes for you to do that many DPS average,
right,
that much flats average, that many parcels average to get that 8 hours.
Yep, that's your new reference volume.
Exactly. So right. When Magic comes out and says, hey, your route is, when you request, say, right, not request, you tell management that you need extra 30 minutes or hour, they said, oh, no, you don't. You don't need all that time. So, no, my 1840 right here, average DPS says 500, but now I have 800.
Right,
my exactly. flats is extra foot. Bigger,
yeah,
and then parcels that five at that time average,
right? Yeah,
and now I got 50, so I think I definitely need more time. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the ways. If you do the things like that are said in this checklist that we're about to finally get into, then you don't have to fear the low volume day. Mm-hmm. That will absolutely work to your advantage when right. it's route inspection time.
Yeah, because if they want to play that game, this is how you play that game. So look, okay, that's 8 hours, fine.
Right.
Now you can put a 96 in every day
right.
because the volume is this.
Right. But and this is okay. also one of the reasons that the old timers and the union people will say, work your route every day like it's route inspection.
Right.
Because if you get a low volume day, like today, my route was low volume.
Mm-hmm.
If I can work my route competently and make it an 8 hour route today, then I know I'm also going to be able to do that when it's route inspection time.
Right.
Okay, so now we finally get into the checklist. It starts out with the AM office.
Yeah, on the route inspection time, make sure yep. you follow all the safety rules.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Which you should be doing all
we
the
should
time
be doing
anyway.
Every day.
All of this stuff, the yeah. caveat is you yeah, should be doing
Yeah, make sure you
it all
put
the
hand brake on.
Yeah,
wheels are wheels. Turned. Make yep. sure you take the key out. Take the
your satchel
to the door when right. you deliver parcels.
Right.
Do all that stuff. And then, of course, parking loop, you got to carry it all times.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just make sure you follow the safety, because what happens with the safety, Alan?
When
you follow
sure
all the safety rules?
Oh, it takes time and you make more money and you stay safe. You
exactly,
don't get hurt.
Exactly. Yep. And so that's part of your route eval.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. Okay, here we go. AM office. First thing. These are just bullet points. Do not work pre-tour. Dude, that's a big one. I see that almost every day.
What people do you mean? Do not work pre-tour.
Like don't. This includes moving your mail and or equipment. Do not inspect your vehicle pre-tour before you clock in.
Oh, before
not,
you clock in.
Yeah,
that's
do
right.
not grab your scanner pre-tour. Right. Every click should be included with your route's value.
Oh, you mean I said I had a carrier at my station who was doing a getting
oh, yeah,
an,
your
1838 done, and supposedly he was counting the mail before he clocked in?
Yeah,
yeah.
That definitely yeah, that counts was, as pre-tour work.
Yeah, that would be pre-tour.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Shouldn't be doing that.
And then the reference here is Article 41.3.K of the National Agreement. Next, additionally, do not work during safety talks. Many stations have safety talks during your casing. Do not continue to case during these safety talks. Weekly safety talks and other appropriate discussions are part of your route. Many stations have started doing these daily, but it still remains part of your route unless it is a literal safety module, which is usually taken online. And this is M605.
Okay.
Is the
so it's a
here.
Safety talk, right?
Yeah, or the morning stand-up.
And then, yeah, yep. Morning stand-up is like a safety talk, and union talk also.
Yeah, okay. Sure, you can ask questions. The union might have something to say.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it not supposed to do?
I'm not sure.
Give you instructions.
Oh, okay.
They're not allowed to give you instructions during a stand-up.
I know you're on the spot here. You're doing this okay. off the top of your head. If you have a citation for that, I'm curious about that.
Okay. Well, first of all.
Because they have you gathered.
Yeah.
But they can't hold you accountable to that instruction because they don't know for sure that you heard
right.
it or
so,
that you were even there.
So here's the thing. I don't have a grievance settlement on that. But what I do is that management will say that you didn't follow instructions.
Right.
And I got them all thrown out because they just said that you didn't follow the instructions that we gave you to us during a stand-up.
Right. Yeah. Because again, how do they know you actually
they,
got that instruction?
Right. Well, it's not. That it's when you're talking to a group of 100 people,
right?
They're not gonna be able to hear everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there's no oh, but they were there. Doesn't mean that you still can hear everything.
Yeah, and how
and
do
the
they
instruction
know that
has to be given individually, right?
Yeah, it has to be so
okay.
that you know the person.
Any unilateral
it, right?
instruction, what are they supposed to do?
Put it in writing.
In writing,
yeah,
which means has to be added in the contract. It has to be added in the memorandum
oh, yeah,
of understanding.
Sure. Right.
So when they do a unilateral decision to have all the carriers do the same thing,
Right.
That,
if they're doing,
they're not allowed to do that.
If they're telling everybody, now it's a policy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. I got you.
And that's where they cannot do that.
Plus, they don't know if you're there. Like, one of the nice things about having these scanners, you clock in anywhere.
Right.
You clock in while you're in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you were outside already doing a safety check on the vehicle and they were doing a stand-up?
You better not be doing that.
No, I'm saying they called a stand-up while you were outside.
Oh, yeah.
How are you
right.
supposed to
as
know?
As soon as I clocked in, I went out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They don't know. Okay, next. Ensure you are switching to all functions properly. If you are casing another person's route, switch to that person's route. They mean like clocking over on the scanner.
Yes.
Section 112.23 of the M41. Not only do we have to protect our routes, but we need to protect the routes around us.
Which we had a episode on.
We had a question about that, right? Because they weren't switching over doing the 3996.
You and I had a problem with the auxiliary route. Yeah.
Right. Also, remember that you cannot spell pivot without OT, overtime. Mm-hmm. Pivoting is a wet dream for management. Don't let them bully or intimidate you into giving them undertime. We often see this in 8-hour carriers or CCAs and PTFs. These routes are supposed to be built as close to 8 hours as possible.
Per carrier on that route.
Right. Yeah, to the regular carrier. Mm-hmm. Right. Section 242.122 of the M39. And most of the time, they are over if you do everything you're supposed to be doing.
So when a supervisor is doing an 1838 on a route and a CCA is on it,
right.
So are they checking the efficiency of the route and the carrier?
Well, the 1838, the office count would be like to make sure that you're casing up to standard 18 and 8. But if you're not the regular carrier on the route, you can't be held to that standard.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. So they shouldn't be doing that to a CCA.
Right. And dude, even if, I mean, it's in the M39 that even if you're not casing at 18 to 8, they need to show unsatisfactory effort or improper conduct or whatever before they can discipline you for it.
Right.
Yep. All right, and then this bullet point finishes. Do not let management bully you into working unsafely. All right, next. Full vehicle inspection. This takes a long time and will require help from others. Mm-hmm. See the expanded vehicle checklist and print and laminate or get someone to print and laminate that page for future daily use. So yeah, there's a whole thing, and it says in here, section 832 of the M41, you can always just take it up to the copier, make a copy of it. But yeah, doing that full vehicle check, you're getting paid for that time.
Right. So the full vehicle check on that checklist, if you actually go through it,
it
will take
minutes.
You more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially doing a route eval.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're helping each other do it.
Yeah.
But this is the trap that carriers fall into. And this is why it's important to do this stuff every day is when it's finally route inspection time and you want to do these things, you have no idea what you're doing because you never do it.
Right.
Right. So you need to do this stuff on the regular so that you're ready when route inspection comes. All right. Next, check your schedule if necessary. Section 112.22 of the M41. Next, accountable checkout. Right. You're doing that on the clock. That takes time. You get credit for that. Next, usually prepare PS Form 3849 when you attempt to deliver certified mail. However, enter the address in the delivery section on the barcoded side of the form for identification in the office when articles are issued. That is also in the M41, section 262.1. You absolutely can fill out that, you know, put the address into your 3849 in the office. And that's not just for, like, certified. That's for things that might need a signature, you know, anything where you're going to need that 3849. Next.
The problem is, they don't give you too much space to put the address in on the new 3849.
Yeah, I only put the street address. Yeah. I don't put city, state, and zip on
there. Well, you don't need to because you already know what city and
zip. Well, and it's like embedded in the in the information anyway.
But they don't give you a lot of room.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Next, necessary route maintenance, such as editing the red book, should be done at least once a week. That's in the M41 section 131.47. Next, casing, 18 liters per minute and 8 flats per minute, which are the only casing standards we have, section 121.11 of the M41, and pull down. Remember, you're given time to study the case, this is when you're new to the route, to familiarize yourself with the line of travel, streets, and numbers to ensure the mail is distributed correctly. Many routes contain similar addresses, suffixes, and other unique issues to that route. So study of the route is essential to limit miscasing, which can affect delivery on the street.
Now I have something on this.
Yeah.
Okay. 18 and 8 is this, they say it's a standard.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can
but you cannot be disciplined for it to hold to that standard. Okay. So to me, even they're using the word standard, but to me, that is just a recommendation.
Yeah, even that, right. Yeah. It's okay. There's some subjectivity to it, a little bit right. of wiggle room, sure.
But again, I know everybody knows 18 and 8. I mean, if you follow that, you're gonna go really slow.
Right.
But again, you cannot be disciplined for standards.
Okay? Right, not for that alone.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, so, and I want to remind you guys with this list, because I kind of forgot it as I was reading, this isn't a route inspection guide. This is a route protection guide.
Right.
This is how you deal with the route on a day-to-day basis to make sure that you're getting your full credit
for your time. So on this, when management says, hey, you're not doing the 18 and 8, they cannot tell you all that during a route eval.
Right. Okay? Yeah, they're not supposed to give you any guidance.
Right, because you're supposed to do...
Except how to fill out the forms.
You're supposed to do the route like you're doing every day. So if this is something you're doing every day, you're supposed to do that. Right. They can correct that all that stuff after the eval is over.
Right.
Because they're supposed to take notes.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, next. Spurs are to be cased during office time. And I know this is something the management fights with people with sometimes, but it's very clear in the manuals. So spurs are to be cased during office time. And as such, you are allowed to fish out any spurs that get thrown or sorted into our parcel hampers so you can case them. This is section 121.16 of the M39.
Okay. So on this one, I hope you remember that.
121.16.
16. Okay. Because we have people with parcel sorting machines in their station. Okay. You get those hampers. Well, they do not sort spurs and parcels separately.
Right.
Okay. So you get them together. Okay. So you'll have a manager that will come to you and tell you that, no, you cannot do that. You have to do it outside. Okay. So since you're supposed to be able to push around the parcels to get the spurs, it says it there. That is an office time.
Absolutely it is.
121.16
of the M39.
Of the M39.
Yep.
Okay. So I want everybody to remember that. Okay. Because you will have managers will push you that.
Yeah. Every once in a while they just
try it.
They'll
tell you to. Now, here's the thing. You still you still follow the instruction by management.
But then it's a grievance.
But it's a grievance. Yep. And because now they're causing more timeouts loading because you're going to take the parcels out outside.
Right, and then come back with inside. The spurs,
and it may take you another 5-10 minutes. Add that to your 96.
Right, of course.
Okay, and then you put on the 96 because of an unclear instruction by a manager by taking the spurs outside to bring it back in. He's taking more time and taking my office duty to go outside. You can put that on the 96.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, instructed by this whoever the supervisor is. Okay. Right. Because the M39 section 121.12
okay.
says that you can...
121.16.
121.16 says you can take spurs out of the hamper.
There you go. All right. Process undeliverable mail in the office.
Yes.
So you have those holdouts at your case that say ANK, NSN, whatever, and that stuff gets handled on office time before you leave for the street.
Those are that you know of.
Yeah.
Because
right.
even the regular, you know what those are. Okay.
Right.
And while sometimes you don't see it till you get out the street.
Yeah, of course. And on the street, this may come up later.
Yeah.
You're actually supposed to bring those back, process those in the office on PM
office time.
Which is further evidence that the 5-minute PM office time, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
There is no set office time.
That is correct.
Back.
All right, next, observe your mail and package volume and consider a projection for how long your day will take. Fill out a 3996 is necessary if your route assignment goes beyond 8 hours that day.
So when management giving you instructions that's going to take longer,
that's
a good idea to fill out the 96.
Fill out the form and retain a copy. This is the controlling document for things the union may need to prove.
Yes. Now, this is where I want grievances, okay?
Uh-huh.
I've had carriers that filed a 271G, okay, to get the rough cut. Then management does whatever they do their things.
Right.
Oh, you're not qualified.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
And then
right, the 271G is the special route inspection.
Right. So they pull up whatever that record they got. They say, oh, it doesn't qualify.
Right.
And then you say, what weeks don't qualify? So you get that form, the printout, where they say these are not the qualified dates, right? Mm-hmm. Or weeks. So if the carrier kept all the 96s throughout those weeks,
that's it. There's your
proof. There's your proof that you were going over, that management lied somehow.
Right. So one of the things I recommend in the academy, you're going to take pictures of this stuff on your phone and then make like a separate folder in your gallery that's just work photos.
Or just make a copy of the 96 and put it in a folder. Or,
you can
leave it in your
too.
Vehicle. Put it in a briefcase, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You know, keep it by each day so you can find it.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next, fill out a 1571 if necessary. That's the undelivered mail report.
Right, that's the curtail form that you got to fill out.
Do not curtail any mail on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we had another episode on
Well, I have an episode right at the beginning, like in season one, that's the 1571.
Right.
And yeah, it talks about
that's where we talk about how management tell you the time and won't give you any extra overtime. So you, when you bring the mail back, you got to fill out a 1571.
Right. Yeah, if you any undelivered mail. Right.
And that's what we talked about, how management goes, no, 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 I need you to deliver all this mail.
Right.
Then you go back out and deliver that mail.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you fill out a 1571.
Absolutely.
Because you brought the mail back.
Okay. So,
and make sure you have a copy of that 1571.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Because that's your evidence that my route got cut short this day. Not everything got delivered.
There's another one that Corey Walton said. I know we're going on time.
No, we're fine.
I know this is another one that Corey Walton said. The reason that you fill out a 1571, because management will lie and said that you brought mail back without authorization, and then the postal inspector get involved and try to get you fired.
Right, the OIG will come in.
But as you know, when management holds a mail back,
they
don't get fired. No, so how is that fair?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not authorized to delay the mail, which is the point here.
Neither do management. In reality, all first-class mail has to go that day. But somehow, now it's okay. They can hold it back.
So that's the next sentence in this bullet point. It says, unless otherwise instructed by management, we are to deliver every piece of mail given to us that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is section 131.46 of the M41.
But somehow, management can hold the mail back, and they don't get fired.
Yeah,
if we do it with the authorization, we do.
Right.
How did they, you know?
Well, so and dude, if you see like Lino Miranda on Facebook, he's been documenting all of this delayed mail at his station and other places. And when the OIG comes in and does their audits, not only is mail being delayed, but management is not reporting the delay of mail.
Right.
And yeah. Do they get fired? No. Not that I've seen.
No. And I've seen where one of the stations back in the day, this was good, I say 10 years ago. And they got caught hiding mail in the officer's management's office. So that was the problem. They got caught.
Yeah. I can see how that would be a problem. Okay, next. And again, remember, these are the things that are on AM office time. Personal needs.
Yes.
You get a 5-minute minimum allowance, and this is part of your fixed office time. All right, next. And personal needs is not just going to the bathroom. It could be like getting your coat, putting on your sunscreen.
Or checking your union board.
Yeah, right. Any checking little thing like that. Right. Yeah, all that
checking
stuff.
Checking the bids.
Sure.
That's all part of that 5 minutes.
Next, move to the street after you have pulled down all of your residual mail and spurs and before.
Wait, what? Where was that article from? The one that about 5 minutes?
It's references just the 1838C.
Okay, so that's in there for five.
That it's yeah,
yeah,
but that it's 5 minutes minimum.
Yeah, but is that in the 1838? Is that one of the clauses?
Yeah, it's one of like part 17 or something in the 1838. Okay. See, it doesn't say which part it is.
So there you go. Now for stewards,
right?
Look at all the things that's on the 1838C.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's a 5 minutes for personal time.
Yep. All right, next, move to the street after you have pulled down all your residual mail and spurs and before handling and loading DPS and packages. Exceptions to handling DPS is when you have secondary addresses that you normally see at your apartments, condos, or businesses that have mail without suite or apartment numbers, which is most of the time. This is considered residual mail.
Yes.
It's also called that S-999 mail, where you may have noticed, I'm going to digress for a sec, like if you deliver to an apartment complex that at the front of your DPS for that apartment complex will be a bunch of bad mail. And that mail should be pulled out for you to case as residual mail. But in many cases, management will leave that in as part of your DPS. They want you to handle that on the street. But that mail should be handled in the office. That is caseable mail.
And we filed the grievance and saying that we're supposed to do it in the office. And
I don't know what happened to that
grievance. I know Jonathan knows.
As far as I know, we filed that grievance.
Yeah.
And that mail should be coming to you as residual mail.
Right.
And
so we can add that to our time in the office.
Yeah. It addresses it further in the bullet point.
Yeah.
This is considered residual mail. They should allow you to go through the DPS to pull out that residual mail and case it before pulling down your residual mail. If they don't, do not attempt to deliver that mail. It is undeliverable as addressed and should be brought back into the station in the afternoon and cased correctly on office time. fill out a 1571 when doing so. Mm-hmm. Also, see your shop steward so they can file a grievance on that, according to Section 121 of the M41 and MRS documents M1153, M1246, and M1306.
There you go. Look at all the violations.
I know, right? They've been told multiple times, and they still pull that nonsense.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, next. During the loading of your vehicle, place packages in delivery order. And on your way out, record your vehicle's beginning mileage as your office deems appropriate. Ensure that your vehicle is properly fueled. Generally, as a rule of thumb, if you have less than half a tank of gas, then obtain a gas card and ensure you fill your vehicle while on the route.
I want to go back to put it in order.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had instructions from management.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, you need to go faster than that. You need to just put it in the vehicle. Okay. So what happens when a manager gives you that instruction?
You have to follow their instructions,
right?
But it's going to take more time.
Exactly, because it won't be in any order, right?
Right.
Exactly. So at that point, either you can fill out a 96 or you let them know later in the day. So because of instruction by this manager, this is taking longer. And always blame it on a manager. That's what people don't forget.
Right.
Blame it on the person that's giving you those type of instructions. Put it on the 96 every single time, okay?
Right.
Because when you file a grievance or when a steward files that grievance, and you have a 96 that has that management's name. And then when it comes to grievance settlement, and let's say it gets settled and there's a loss because of their stupid instruction, sometimes the postmaster or somebody above gets to see that copy of that 8190, okay? And you know what happens when they see a name of the supervisor that's on it?
That supervisor gets a phone call.
Yes, they do. And they yell at that supervisor pretty well. So what kind of stupid instruction are you giving to that carrier?
Oh, that's good times. Yeah.
And that's what I usually do, and I've gotten a lot of supervisors get yelled at by the upper management because of that. And I know because I had a supervisor cry in front of me because I was saying, why'd you name me? Yeah.
Well, I call him as I see him. Okay. Yeah.
You're the one who's breaking the rules.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so now we move on to street. And again, remember, this is route protection. This is not for the route inspection specifically.
Do you want to do that as part two? Or
We are at the 30-minute mark. Yeah, let's do that. So when we come back, the next episode, we'll have to release these episodes back to back. We'll be continuing this onto the street.
Yeah. So this one was the office, and then now we'll go to the street.
There you go. All right.
So thanks for listening to this one.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you all next time.